that we know that this virus primarily targets older populations and those with underlying health conditions. Well, over 99.98% of those under the age of 50 make a full and quick recovery. By giving the vaccine to high-risk individuals right away, we will dramatically reduce hospitalizations and deaths. Case levels are high, but a lot of the case levels are high because of the fact that we have the best testing program anywhere in the world. We've developed the most and the best tests, and we test far more than any other country, so it shows, obviously, more cases. By vaccinating the elderly and the high risk, we will effectively end this phase of the pandemic and allow seniors to reclaim their golden years, the golden years of their lives, which is so incredible. And it's about time that they can have those golden years. Again, this process is starting right away. Millions of doses will soon be going out the door. They're all ready, waiting for that final approval. As soon as April, the vaccine will be available to the entire general population, with the exception of places like New York State, where, for political reasons, the governor decided to say, and I don't think it's good politically, I think it's very bad from a health standpoint, but he wants to take his time on the vaccine. He doesn't trust where the vaccine's coming from. These are coming from the greatest companies anywhere in the world, greatest labs in the world. But he doesn't trust the fact that it's this White House, this administration. So we won't be delivering it to New York until we have authorization to do so. And that pains me to say that this is a very successful, amazing vaccine at 90% and more. But so the governor, Governor Cuomo, will have to let us know when he's ready for it. Otherwise, we can't be delivering it to a state that won't be giving it to its people immediately. And I know the people of New York very well. I know they want it. So the governor will let us know when he's ready. He's had some very bad editorials recently about this statement and what's happened with respect to nursing homes and his handling of nursing homes. And I hope he doesn't handle this as badly as he's handled the nursing homes. But we're ready to provide it as soon as they let us know that they'll actually use it. And again, it's a very safe and a great vaccine. Already we have among the lowest case fatality rates our country anywhere in the world, the entire world, and we perform significantly better than our peer countries. As far as therapeutics are concerned, my administration's also made critical investments in therapies that have helped reduce the mortality rate by 85%. That's, to me, one of the most exciting things. It's incredible, some of the antibody vaccines and others that have come out and have really helped people. 85%. Last month, the FDA approved remdesivir, and we've secured enough remdesivir to treat 850,000 patients. My administration finalized an agreement with Eli Lilly to purchase the first doses of their antibody therapy, which shows amazing results. This treatment will be available completely free of cost to patients. 5,000 units have already been shipped, and many more are going out the door as we speak. We also reached an agreement with AstraZeneca for the large-scale manufacturing of their antibody treatment, which is excellent. We expect to issue emergency use authorizations for a number of additional treatments in the near future. Tremendous promise, but remember the 85% number. That's an incredible, incredible number, but we have some tremendous...
Good evening, everybody. We've been listening to President Trump speaking Friday about the coronavirus, the vaccines, and all that jazz. So we'll start the call in just a couple minutes.
Authorities over 100 times and have made a historic investment into our industrial base. All states that requested PPE from the federal government have received the PPE almost immediately upon request. Every American who needed a ventilator has had access to a ventilator. Think of that. Very complicated piece of equipment, very expensive. And we haven't had one person in this whole country that has requested or needed a ventilator that hasn't had it. Every single request has been immediately filled. So that was something that was a great job. And now we're helping the rest of the world with ventilators because it's a very hard thing. We're producing them thousands of ventilators a month. The federal government has 22,000 beds immediately available for states and jurisdictions that need additional capacity. but we think that it's going to start going down, possibly very quickly. We'll see what happens, but with the vaccine, you'll see numbers going down within a matter of months, and it'll go down very rapidly. As we continue to combat the virus, our economy is rebounding far beyond any expectations. I see the stock market's up almost 400 points today again, and it's ready to break the all-time record. Our jobs records are incredible. The job numbers are incredible. In the last 6 months, we've created over 13 million jobs and slashed the unemployment rate by more than half. Last quarter, we witnessed the fastest economic growth ever recorded in the history of our country, 33.1%. It's a number that is more than...
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the prayersfor45.com call for Sunday night. It is the 15th of November, and we are back again to pray for President Trump, pray for our country, and all the many things that go with it. And Kimberly is with us, of course, to do our first prayer. How are you, Kimberly?
Oh, Scotty, I'm so excited about all this stuff coming out, aren't you?
Oh, never a dull moment. There's always something exciting and something new today. I was kicking the tires on the internet and found out that the coronavirus tests have been tabulated by the same software Dominion that helped steal our election. Isn't that interesting how they do things? Very, very conveniently. So, yes, Dominion software is in charge of keeping tabs of coronavirus test results. How about that? So, from one good corrupt event to the next one.
Oh, my gosh! I didn't know that!
These people have no shame at all. They are so depraved and so sick. And as Q has said from the very first few weeks of posting, these people are sick, and they will do anything. And, of course, why are they stretching not only the software that's being used for the test, but the tests themselves? It's now coming out. They're filled with false positives by design. They're only 60% accurate or 60% inaccurate. I don't remember which one. They're not right. Nothing about this pandemic is right because they are openly using it to reset the world's economy. This is their way. They can't get a war. They've always used war to reset. That's been their primary method of resetting the globe. And now they want their Marxist system implemented and an economic system that reflects Marxist, even communist sorts of policies. So, Kimberly, we got a lot to pray about, don't we? They're not gonna get what their agenda executed because they can't rely on the United States and they can't accomplish their goals without the U.S., can they?
No, they absolutely can't, and we know that it is God who raises up kings, and it is God who removes kings, and so we can stand on the word tonight and declare the Lord's promises over our president and ultimately trust the Lord with his plan.
We sure can.
What do you say, Scotty? Should we start?
Yes, let's do it.
Woohoo! All right, everybody, Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 through 23 says in the Amplified Translation, "It is he who changes the time and the seasons. He," meaning our God, "removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and greater knowledge to those who have understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the solution to the king's matter." The context of this of this declaration from Daniel out of the second chapter of the book of Daniel is that he was brought in to interpret the king's dream. And his cry before the Lord was that the Lord would give him utterance so that he wouldn't die, basically. And this is just a powerful reminder to all of us that it is the Lord that reveals, and it is the Lord that exposes what is hidden and brings it into the light, and that our God is the light. And that we know that all the things that are hidden, both the good and the bad, don't forget, it is our God who reveals both the good things that are hidden and the bad things that need to be exposed. So with that, let's just run into the presence of the Lord. Father, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you that we can run into your presence with expectation and excitement, knowing that you have not been knocked off your throne. You're not surprised by any of this. And of course, it all makes sense to you, even though news can shock us sometimes, like it did with me a few minutes ago, Lord, when Scotty shared about the Dominion calculations of the COVID results. Lord, you were not surprised by that, and you continue to not be surprised. And Father, help us to find our resolve in you. Help us to stand on your word and trust that you are not surprised, that everything that is coming out is part of your plan, not the plans of man, but your plan to establish your kingdom on earth. Father, we know that you have a good plan for us, that you have a plan to prosper, that you have a plan to heal, that you have a plan to establish your health, that you have a plan to raise up and tear down. And even though passages that we've read out of Ecclesiastes, Lord, that it is all vanity, Father, we know that ultimately your word will stand, and that we can stand on your word, that it is a firm foundation under our feet when everything else is shifting sand. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can lift up our president and that we can declare that the strength of the Lord is his strength, that it is not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. Father, we thank you that you have not given your people a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And that when any of us ask lacks of wisdom, Father, in James, you say that we can come to you and ask for wisdom, Lord, and that you will give it to us with generous giving and without holding back from us, Lord. We thank you for that. And, Father, we ask that you would continue to allow us to be firmly planted, standing on the fact that no matter what happens, no matter how it happens, that you will have your way, that your will be done, that you are the victor, that the battle is the Lord's. And I am quoting scriptures, and we're standing on your word, knowing that you use unconventional means to accomplish conventional accomplishments. Father, that you use the impossible and make it possible, that your word says that you are able to do above and beyond what we can imagine, ask, or think. And so, Lord, we thank you that the victory is yours. We thank you that your word says that by your stripes we are healed. We thank you that it is the blood that covers and creates atonement for us for our sin. We thank you that we can have righteousness because of the blood that was shed. We thank you that you have clothed us with garments, Lord, that we have pulled off our humanity and put on your righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that we can filter all of the stuff that's coming in, Lord, and seek your truth and have your wisdom. Father, that with all of the abundance of knowledge, Lord, that we can understand by your lens, your eyeglasses, Lord, I see your eyeglasses on our eyes, that we can filter all of the knowledge with your eyeglasses and have wisdom and knowing how to apply it. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are the one who brings revelation, that you are the one who brings knowledge, that you are the one who brings words of knowledge and supernatural discernment, Lord, that is not human. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that we can look to a situation and declare, your will and your perfection and your plan to be done and accomplished, and that ultimately it will bring you glory. So, Lord, we ask that you would encourage our president tonight, that you would envelop him like a cocoon, that he would be completely encapsulated in your love and your peace, and that you would infuse into him your joy and your strength and your protection against everything, every pestilence, every illness, every attack from the pit of hell. We thank you that he is protected and shielded. We thank you for every individual that's involved in his security, Lord, and his counsel, Father. We thank you that they have been approved by you, and that those who are not are being rooted out as we are sitting here. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege to come together. We thank you that we can pray openly and outwardly, and that we don't have to be afraid, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that there is no reason for anxiety, that there is no reason for fear, that we can stand on your word and have the assurance that it is inspired by you, that you continue to do the miraculous today, that even as you parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, your chosen people, you continue to do the impossible even now. And so, Lord, we're asking for the impossible. We're asking that you would expose in the very short time the wiles of the enemy from the pit of hell, all of the assault, that you would make it clear and make it known. We call it forth into the light. We thank you for every attorney, Father. I've got the list. I'm not looking at it now, but you know their names. You know the names of the men and the women and the firms that you have called to raise a standard of excellence and bright lights. Father, we ask that you would give them your favor in the courts. We thank you for what you are doing. We pray all of these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Scotty, did you mute yourself? We are all here on Prayers for 45. Our fearless leader, Scotty Sachs, where are you? Christine, are you out there?
I am.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I wonder if he got disconnected.
It's okay because the board is still up and we have called into the board. So I think you should share something totally exciting that you've learned this week and then pray.
Oh, I will. Thank you. I will share with the group something that I learned this week. Well, actually, Kimberly, you've been very instrumental, but I will say what I have learned in the past few weeks, and that is my sin of arrogance about God has been resolved. And yes, resolved. And so now I'm working on getting into the practice daily of seeing the opposite of what my arrogance cost me, because now I can accept the gifts and the kingdom that God so greatly wants to give me every day.
So
what I will say,
Christine,
it is completely wonderful. It is. And what I know is that something you pointed me to look at, and the very episode that I picked had to do with the prodigal son. And the prodigal son was accepted home by his father. When we look at, I think it's, what is it, Luke. And basically what happened was the mental equivalence, the mental and spiritual equivalence of the son, was that he was going to beg his father even for just a job, which he didn't think he was worthy of, because of the situation of him taking an early retirement, inheritance, and going off and squandering it on liquor and women and whatever. And the father was so relieved to have the preciousness of his son back at home that he threw a party. And I love that, because my arrogance about God was that when I was growing up, I was told never to ask for anything. Don't ask for anything, ever. And I was actually in a religion that said I couldn't ask God. I couldn't ask God for anything when I prayed, and I couldn't pray to Jesus. So imagine how many years I lived without the comfort and the kingdom that our great Lord wanted to give me. And so now what I know is that that is a lie, and that my arrogance that resulted from that, which was, okay, fine, I can't ask you for anything. Well, guess what? I'm going to do it all, and that's it. Other people can ask you for stuff, that's fine, but you know what? I'm just going to do it all on my own, and I'm going to be the prodigal son. And now I'm not the prodigal son anymore. And now I get to enjoy my father's house, my father's kingdom. And what I would say is that's what I learned.
Awesome!
So, yes, it's beautiful, because I think that is where our country is. Our country is returning to God, and our president is a great conduit, and there are many people who are helping with this. And so as the prodigal son, our country, which was erroneously told things and came to believe things that were lies because of the lies that were told from birth on, even before, that now as the truth is getting exposed, it's a time for celebration, it's a time for joy, and it's a time to accept Jesus and the life-giving waters that he offers to us freely and through his sacrifice, his blood sacrifice. And so now is not the time to be attached to man, to situations, as these are kind of, if you get like that, then it's kind of like false idols happening all over the place. And we can all look at the real leader in the room in our country, which is Donald Trump. And I'm so excited, because I really feel as though God has really spoken to me. And I'm grateful for this group, and I'm grateful for you, Kimberly. And I am grateful for the love and the mercy and the grace that I was, it wasn't that I was even taught about it. I was taught that I couldn't have it. I grew up in a cult, and now it's all different. And so I don't fret, because my reliance isn't on anything or anyone but God.
Amen. Woo! Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited about it. And so that's what I learned, and I'm ready to pray anytime.
You know what? I love the prophetic word that you just uttered, and I want to say it again, okay, Christine? You said that the same way that the prodigal son was returned to his father, right, after believing lies, that you thought that our nation was much like that. And so I want to stand in agreement with your declaration and say, yes, grant it, Lord. Return your country. Return the heart of your country to be towards you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Right?
Yes, amen. Amen.
Woo. Whew. All right. Lead us in prayer, girl.
Well,
woo.
Okay, here comes the prayer. Here comes
amen.
The prayer. So, dear God, dear Lord, we are so humbled to be before you, and grateful to be humbled. Grateful. What a relief it is to know that our salvation was not paid for by us as imperfect humans, or even attempted to. Dear God, we know exactly what had to happen, that had to go before us to pay for the sins that we commit and have committed, for the forgiveness. And we know, just as I've recently learned, that there's no way that we could have ever earned your love, dear God, that we are made of that love, that we have that love, and that the salvation and the joy that we are afforded is through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that. We know that. And so as a lot of us are waking up and turning on that light, what we know is we are also helping with our country to turn on the light so that there's a landing strip for liberty as it was intended by you and is being delivered. We know that we are helping to light up all those airports that those deliveries are coming in, that we are the conduits for this joy and this love and this light, and that the reliance that we have upon you is not a reliance out of resistance or stubbornness or giving up or any of the resentment that we might have carried, but it is through the sheer grace of you that we are able to give it up, to give up what is only yours to do, and that to do what it is that we are here to do, and to work that together, dear Lord, as we break these chains of codependence of death in our country and rely on you for life, because we know that is the only road. What I know now, dear God, and I hope, no, I won't say hope, what I work for and I know will happen in our country is that everyone will see that the narrow path, the difficult and narrow path, is not there for us to suffer. It is there for us to be protected from those walls of darkness that would close in a moment if we were to merely give permission in our lives for that. Though we walk through the valley of death, we fear not any evil, because we know that evil is from the pit of hell, and we know who our Father is. We know who our Father is. We know you are our Father and our true home. And so there is nothing in that that will be any sort of distraction from you, dear God, dear Lord. We know that, and we are so grateful to have in you the perfect parent who is perfectly loving us, caring for us, setting things out for us, preparing for us, and has sacrificed so much for us. And we do not take that as a guilt thing. We don't take it as a resentment thing. We take it as your pure, unadulterated, 100% pure love. We know that this is here for us, and we know that you are the one that all the love songs are about. You are the one that all of the poems are about. You are the one that created all of this. And we praise you, God. We praise you, and we know that you are bringing forth that which cannot be stopped, and that which we have waited so long for, and that which we can cry and laugh and move into, knowing that just because it was hidden from us, that it didn't exist, and that this evil way is coming to an end, but we are not. We know that you are creating a way for your people, and we take that very, very seriously and very, very joyfully. Thank you, dear God. We ask you for all these ways in which we may be patient, that we may be strong, that we may be fortified, and we thank you so much for providing for us in advance. We thank you, God, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh, amen. I have tears streaming down my face. Oh, my God.
Amen. Amazing, Christine. Absolutely. Great job, both of you. Sorry I got cut out there for a little while. The dark side's been messing with my phone again. I had a hard time getting my radio show produced this week, and something is just going on. I think it's easy to explain what it is. They don't want me doing the things I'm doing, but I've talked to other people.
That means you're doing something right.
Yeah, that means we're over the target here with Prayers for 45 and also with Sovereign Radio. So I'm not just deterred. I'm not shaken by it. I just dial back in when I have to and keep punching away on the radio. So, but
hey,
great
Scotty.
Yes.
I think we should bring Pastor Joseph on really quick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. I will get him. I know he's on. I just saw his number.
Yeah.
Hello, Pastor Joseph. How are you?
Hey, Scotty, I'm doing well. How about you?
quite well, thank you very much, on a beautiful evening here in Southern California. Where are you? Are you in Southern California as well?
Yeah, I'm up in the San Bernardino Mountains near Lake Arrowhead.
There you go. So what brings you to speak to us tonight? We welcome it, whatever it may be.
You know, I think Kimberly was prompted in the spirit before I had the answer, and so I'm just kind of listening currently.
Okay.
You know, the word that I shared today, and maybe I'll just go with that, is 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 through the finish, about David coming to battle a plot that was set against him to undo his kingdom. And he called upon the name of the Lord, and in the calling, God directed him initially, and he said to him that I'm your means for breakthrough. Go against your enemy, and I'll give you victory. And David named that place that he had gone and had victory, he called the name Baal-Parazim, which was God of the breakthrough. And knowing our enemies and their corruption, sometimes they don't give up on a defeat, and they try to come another way with the hopes that maybe we'd be wearied or tired from the process, and we'd back away. And so sure enough, David's enemies came against him a second time, and he asked the Lord, should I go up against him? And this time the Lord said, no. Wait, come up behind them and wait until you hear the feet of the angels on the top of the mulberry trees. And when you hear their feet, know that I've gone before you and secured your victory. And so in this case, in that second battle, practicality is sometimes we do get a little tired. And in that case, God, understanding where the people were at, he went to war on their behalf and won the victory as they followed him into it. And so maybe both of those applications are applicable for us tonight, as it's been a long season, and those that are in the midst of it, especially the president and his council and those in the sphere around him, may be a little tired. And knowing what God said, it still sometimes can be wearying sometimes to hold on to that promise when there's been such challenge. And so maybe that's what the word is for us, that we need to be praying for their strength and refreshing, and for God to go ahead of them to finish what they've been obedient to start.
Hallelujah. Well,
thank you for sharing, Pastor Joseph. Christine, go ahead.
Oh, I was just so funny. I was just going to say that, yes, it has been so weary upon them, even though they know that God, that the victory is secured by our Lord. And I wanted to also say that it's absolutely true, the whole thing that's happening with you, Scotty, and the cutting off and all that stuff. And our car was broken into this week, and they did not break the windows or anything. And what they took out of our car, they took a couple of like stupid things like pens, but the one thing they took was our rosary that has hung on our rearview mirror for the last 3 years. And then they didn't take anything else. And I think that these are all because we are fighting and this is war. And it's more important than ever to lean into our Lord, because we know that these are not human forces. We know that as we put on that armor of God. And so I'm just so glad we come together on this call, because we can compare notes and we can know exactly who is going to deliver us.
That is for sure. Well, Kimberly, would you like to add anything before we get to our gratitude prayer?
I just have been walking all day declaring breakthrough. And it's so amazing to me that the Spirit prompted me to bring Joseph on. I wasn't even sure that he was on. And that's the word that the Lord gives him, and yet it's confirmation in my own life, both personally, because I am standing on the word of the Lord for breakthrough in many battles, and yet I'm also interceding for incredible breakthrough in our nation. And I just want to encourage our team of prayer warriors tonight that the seed that you're planting on this call every single week is not just for the nation, that the Lord is seeing it. He is seeing it as faithfulness, and it's being brought forth in a harvest in your own personal lives. So just receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And we are getting 30-plus people on every call now, so we are definitely fighting back, and nobody's backing down from the war we're in, that's for sure, because our calls are consistently now. We've gone from 25 to 30 on every call, and that's great news. And as we always do, we close with a little gratitude to God. Thank you, Lord, which is the source of all true joy in our lives. Your word says that everything you have created is good. Nothing is to be rejected when we receive it with thanksgiving. You've loved us, and you've freed us from our sins. You can satisfy our every desire and need. Let us give thanks for your unfailing love and wonderful deeds for mankind. You fill our hearts with gratitude. You're able to keep us from stumbling and to present us blameless before the presence of your glory with great joy. God be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time and now and forever. We're so grateful you heard our prayers tonight. Grateful and thankful for our conversation. We're grateful that we gained clarity on things that are happening. The Patriots are in control, and that we are taking responsibility to teach and educate family and friends that don't understand what's going on. We're grateful we can be there for them. We're grateful for our prayer leaders that are here tonight and every Tuesday, Sunday, and Thursday. We're grateful for our prayer warriors that come every Sunday and Thursday. And we're grateful for the power of this group prayer that made it possible for us 30 people to come together and attack and keep attacking our enemies who want to take us down. They want to take us down with COVID, and they want to take us down with election fraud, and they want to take us down with global resets that we are not going to let them succeed. And we're grateful, Lord, that you will let our roots grow down into you and let our lives be built around you so we can fight and continue to fight the enemy as our faith will grow strong in the truth and we will overflow with thankfulness. We are thankful for our president, President Trump, for his great team, his Secretary of State, and his patriots that he has surrounded himself with. We're grateful for the agenda and for our ultimate sovereignty that binds us in our ability to come together in prayer tonight. We're grateful for everything you've given us. Thank you so much for the loved ones in our lives and the many ways which all of us call on this call are cared for and supported. To you be glory and dominion forever. Well, good night, everybody. Have a great Sunday night. We will see you again on Thursday. Hang up the phone. Give somebody you love a big hug and have a great night. God bless you all, and God bless President Trump.
And God bless America, too.